Shalom, friends. These have been really interesting times. You go to sleep in the evening, and suddenly you wake up in the alarm, and then or your phone goes off and gives you the warning, early warning, and then you hear the alarm go over all the cities, the eerie sound. And then you should try to run to the shelter, but maybe you're a little bit too late, like happened to me last two mornings, and I glanced at the window, and I see how a big fireball is coming from the east, and then I see the interceptions. They go right in front of my window. It's happening again and again and again. It's quite an experience. And then your sleep is kind of what it is. It is what it is, as we say. But God has given us great grace. This is part of our destiny. We must go through this. We must go through this. It's leading up to something. So, Father, we pray in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, that you continue to pour your grace upon us. We thank you. We praise you. You're faithful. And your grace never fails. Your love never fails. And we want to walk in the right path. We want to abide in you. That's our power to live life that is pleasing to you. Not by ourselves, not from ourselves, but enjoying you and living a holy life. That's so beautiful. That's a work of your grace, work of your forgiveness. We thank you in the name of Yeshua. Bless all Israel today. Amen. And by the way, when we pray for Israel, we always also pray for those who are enemy countries to Israel, that they would receive a better understanding and they would find the life-changing and forgiving grace of God. Okay, let me start with this biblical verse. Yesterday I was listening to the wonderful conference in Latvia, and the verse, which is in the book of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, the verse really spoke to my heart deeply. Of course, it was read from the English Bible, and in English it has a little bit different meaning, so I'm going to go into it now. In Hebrew, but this message was so good, and how it was spoken was so helpful when we dodge the missiles here and go through this trying time. All these messages encourage us and the prayers. Okay, Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I'm come to show, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. In this text it says, to Daniel, the messenger said to Daniel, that you are greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. Very interesting. But in Hebrew, the word is not actually love. It's not wrong to connect it to love. The word hemed or hamad is actually translated like desire, even to covet something, desire. It can be a positive coveting, okay? And precious, pleasing, delight, great delight. What is it that God really is delighted in? That's what I wanted to connect it. Even though the same word, hamat, is not in this next text, the same idea is very much there. And you remember when Yeshua, the Messiah, was in Jordan, being immersed by Yohanan and John, the voice said from heaven, "Thou art my beloved son." This is my beloved son, sorry, in whom I'm well pleased. This well pleased is exactly the same idea as this idea, hamad, well pleased, very interesting, well pleased. So if we're pleased, above all, in the Messiah, everything he has attained for us, he has done for us, in his forgiveness, in his love, in his power to give us also a holy life. It's part of the same thing. But we're pleased in his grace that is so powerful without asking anything back from us. This is amazing. But there's something else in this same context. And God says in Jeremiah chapter 32, that God is so delighted, so delighted. And that's what captured Daniel's heart. Prophet Daniel's heart was captured by this great desire that God has. And so Daniel began to pray and pray and pray that God, who had to discipline his people so severely and sent Israel, I mean, this was the kingdom of Judah, that's also Israel, but the kingdom of Judah, 70 years to Babylonian captivity, now God wants to restore. His desire is not in the discipline and in the punishment. He has to do it for his righteousness, but his desire is when mercy rejoices over judgment, when he can do good. Just like a father to a child. If the father has to discipline the child, after the discipline, the father takes the child in the lap, hopefully, and comforts the child and gives something good to the child. That's our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah 32, and from verse 39. And on. And I will give them one heart. The Hebrew word is lev ehad. Lev ehad is compound unity, compound one. We have two words for one. One like an absolute individual one and a compound one. In the unity of God, we have this word, God is Ehad, compound one. There's room for the Lord, for the word of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes? Yes. And here is that word, compound one, that we have different portions and different understandings, but we come together with one spirit, yes, and join the heart of God. I will give them one heart, and one way, that's what we need today. In all these pressures, one heart and one way. I just want to give you this as a prayer request. When Israeli families are in a war situation, especially in the north and here, in the bunkers, the families are in the bunkers all the time and the children are fighting and carol. They fight and they look for something to do. And many times money is a problem because people can't work and it's difficult to pay bills and all kinds of things. Nerves are tense and tight, so it's easy to come to divisions. So the spiritual enemy would like to use these situations to disrupt families, to cause quarrels and disagreements, and God forbid, even sometimes divorces can happen in these trying times. So thank you that you can understand this and pray for this, for the unity, for the oneness, that we can have one heart, one way, because he promised it, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. Well, the everlasting covenant was made already 2,000 years ago in the context of Passover. That is the everlasting covenant. However, Israel still needs to enter, and Israel will enter into that covenant. Many have already entered, but the main, the greater part are still waiting for that. To do them good, and I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. That is the miracle. God changed in the heart. Of course, we're talking about Ezekiel 36, chapter 36. When God takes away the heart of stone, the heart of stone can try, but he cannot make a permanent change. But when the heart of flesh comes, that heart will stay, and they will not depart from me. However, in our human experience, we still have lapses. We need forgiveness. We have failures. We have moments of doubt. We may even fail, really fail. But they shall not depart from me means that God will give always power to get up again, receive fresh forgiveness, and continue in this road. Because the heart is changed. It does not mean that the heart is 100% perfect in ourselves. It never will be. But he will keep it in the right way. Beautiful. And then he says in verse 41, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. So I believe that Daniel really understood the heart of God, that was God's pleasure to do Israel this good. This is a very special verse. And that's why Daniel really started to pray for the restoration of Israel, because 70 years was fulfilled that time. So Daniel's pleasure was to join in the pleasure of God. That happens when we fall in love with the Messiah. And we love him, and the Father loves him, and we have a joint pleasure. But we also need to have this joint pleasure with God in the restoration of Israel, in praying that there'll be one way, one heart. God said he will do it. We pray that he will speedily do it. And then it was hard. It's not easy for God to punish or discipline the nation for 70 years. And imagine, after 2,000 years of discipline, that Israel was out of favor with God. Israel was never rejected. Never rejected. But like sort of out of favor. Can't have more time to get into that. But how much more he's been waiting now to plant Israel back in the land with his whole heart and his whole soul. We don't find many verses like that in the Bible. God wants to do something with his whole heart and with whole soul. If all the nations in the world accept the good news, get to know the Messiah, by grace have a new heart, find their fullness in him. But if Israel is not yet in the picture, fully receiving this grace, it's not a done deal. It's not. And that's why I personally want to really thank you all for praying for Israel and joining God's heart in what is his pleasure. Now, for the second part of this little message, I would like to talk a little bit about the facts on the ground. Last night, after we listened to some wonderful messages in the internet, my wife and I, we love these messages about God's never-changing heart of grace. Then we listened to the news. We have to know what's on our backyard here. And we had an excellent commentator. He's an Israeli general, and he gave some recaps. So I want to give you a few of these recaps of what is going on. He said that just yesterday, my understanding is that it was stated like yesterday or just recently, Iran and Hezbollah claimed that this battle is their final battle, meaning that they feel this is the moment of making it or breaking it. If we sink this time, we lose our battle against Israel. Yes, they have darkness in their minds, their souls are dark, but they put everything into it what they have. So what do they have? Hezbollah. Before the last Hezbollah war started around 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, roughly, Hezbollah terror organization in Lebanon had 200,000 rockets. That's an estimate. Now they have an estimated 60,000 rockets. Oh, that means that they lost about 75% of the rockets. That is an amazing thing. That is really quite an amazing thing for our favor. But what they have, a lot of them are long-range rockets, very dangerous, very, very, very bad. I mean, they can put 2 tons to the English speakers. That's like 4,000 pounds of destructive explosives. Imagine 2 tons into one payload. That's amazing. We saw some of them coming here. They are huge. Then another interesting thing is that yesterday the Gulf countries, which are the mostly Sunni Muslims, more friendly towards Israel, if we use that term, excuse me, they had a meeting in UN, and these countries condemned Iranian actions towards other Islamic countries here in the Gulf, in the region. This is very remarkable, because in one way, Iran is kind of like hurting themselves. It's opening eyes of the other Muslim countries that are not Shia. Okay, but other Muslim countries are, we're under attack, because Iran is trying to give them a message, don't work with the West, or we'll kill you, or we'll harm you. Okay? But the Muslim countries, other Muslim countries are seeing, this is very cruel, this is not so good. That's a new term that actually works somewhat for the favor of Israel. I said somewhat because it's getting pretty complicated. The bombardment of the rockets in the northern border of Israel, in the border towns, has been simply unbelievable. Even in Haifa and the whole northern area, our friends that are living in Haifa, the Romans, and Abraham's family, how do they say? I call them Abraham family. Avramov, yes. And Tofik and many, many friends that we have there up in the north. And our good reporter, Israeli reporter, Amir Sarfati, they are under a lot of fire. We are under a lot of fire in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, many times a day, usually more than once at night now also. But they have the hardest part in the north. Regime change coming in Iran? Good question. It's being debated in the news. It's very hard to overthrow this regime. Another question is, sticky point is the Straits of Hormuz. Iran is kind of trying to block that to cause worldwide economic trouble. But, or rather than block, I would say that they control it, who can come, who can go. They want to control it. America is absolutely against it, so is Israel. So it's in the hands of the military how this will pan out. Very sad thing in Iran now. The masses of Iranian, wonderful, wonderful people that would like to protest on the streets, Iranian police forces are saying now that we're going to kill everybody who goes to the streets of protest. Are they really going to do it? I think they're behind their threat, even though it may be a little bit overstated, but it's not really overstated. In the past, they have done that, and that's the reason why Israel has been hitting police stations to save the people that don't want this wicked, oppressive government. Yes. So, back to Israel and Lebanon, Israel and Hezbollah, that is. Hezbollah is completely an Iranian organization started by Iran. It's not grassroots organization from Lebanon. So they, Hezbollah is fighting with all they've got. And Israel seems to be so, needs to maybe move into a ground operation. But anyway, we're hitting harder and harder. We have no choice. The agreement was when President Trump declared the peace of the border peace, the agreement was that Lebanon army will deal with Hezbollah and take away their weapons. It never happened. They've been building the arsenal. So again, who has to do the bad work? Israel has to do the dirty work, and we have no choice. No choice. Okay, so there's many, many things we could say, but let me say a couple of more things. There's a Maronite church in Lebanon. It's called Maronite Church. This church still is reading the scriptures in the Aramaic language. Oh, I love the Aramaic language, and I rely heavily on its wisdom in Yeshua's mother tongue. Okay, but they got sandwiched in between this warfare because Hezbollah took over their town, or maybe it's a village or town. I don't know where the difference lies here. And Maronite people decided not to leave when Israel decided to leave. So they got into the crossfire. Maronite are not, they do not have a militant spirit against Israel at all. Many Lebanese people don't. So Maronite got into the crossfire. One of their priests actually died, according to the report. I believe it is right. So they need prayer, and other peaceful, wonderful people in Lebanon. And by the way, we also pray that those that hate Israel, they would receive a different heart, a new heart, that their heart would be changed. But if they want to destroy Israel, Israel is not going to go away from here. Israel will be disciplined, but God with all of his heart works for the restoration and to get a new heart to Israel. That's his will. That's his desire. That's his love. So, there's an attempt now by many, many different sources to kind of bring this war to a quick end. American people are highly concerned about economics. There's a great pressure on President Trump to bring the war to a quick conclusion, as quick as possible. President Trump understands that this war has to play till the conclusion. Otherwise, we have to go back to it again every 2 years, and that's what he just said recently. So he's in a difficult place. America may have slightly different goal for this war than Israel. Why? Because for America, it has a little bit different meaning. Iran is not in the immediate backyard of America, but there are, sorry to say, sleeper cells that can be very destructive, and this is a real danger. For Israel, these kind of wars are really existential wars. This is about our existence. So we pray for President Trump. We pray for Netanyahu. We pray for the good co-working that has been so far holding pretty well, actually amazingly well. We thank God for Trump. We thank God for Bibi Netanyahu, our great leaders. Bibi is my leader, but I highly respect Trump as well. So we'll keep praying. We pray that Israel will receive spiritual salvation, this one way that Jeremiah spoke about. But we need a lot of physical safety. Prayer for the physical salvation of Israel as well. And the poor people, Israelis on the border towns. And why not also keep praying that many, many people who misunderstand the message of God by reading Quran all the time, that their hearts would be changed also. I want to be honest with you. It's not their fault that they were born in these families that teach these terrible things. It's not their fault. But they do need a new heart, and they must change. They must change. And only God can do it. So we're going to be encouraged in praying. Thank you, friends, for standing with us. And we're not having kind of like regular gatherings here now. This war has to play out. It's a tough season, not an easy season. But we have the God of all grace that helps us and helps you. Thank you so much.